You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny's Mulan in Review. That's right. We are going to rank and review Mulan 1998 and Mulan 2020 when it comes out on Disney Plus next week. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the big dog, Kevin Coelho.
What's up?
Kevin came over yesterday to help me install some stuff, and he was hanging out with Moose. And Moose treated him as if he was, in fact, a big dog, and it made me very happy. Where he didn't treat him like a human being. He did the bark and confusion thing, and I think it confirms some things that we've all thought for a very long time. So thank you, Kevin,
for being the big dog in this life.
That you are a big dog.
It's true.
Big dog.
I got that dog spirit, you know?
Tim, who's the wrestler that has, like, that fun house?
Oh,
that Bray theme? Wyatt?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin looks a lot like Bray Wyatt right now. Getting a lot of Bray Wyatt vibes.
Yeah. And I'm liking it.
People really like them.
We also have the producer / seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Hello. Welcome.
Welcome.
Everything all right, Nick? You touched the camera and you went, shit.
Oh, no. My headphones just popped out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We have the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
I can't believe the new one's next week already. It doesn't, like... Obviously, we're doing it right now, so that means that the next one is next week. But like, until you mentioned it right now, it kind of hit me like, oh, yeah, wow.
Well, Andy, yeah. I don't know if you know this or not, but Disney does not actually release their movies based on our schedule. It's kind of the opposite way around. Huh. We wait for them to put the movie out, and then we strategize as to how we're going to make coverage for it. I've been meaning to talk to Tim about. Tim, if you could call Eisner or whoever runs Disney these days, mm-hmm. just Iger or whatever the guys are, you just let them know. You know, just let them know.
What do you want me to let them know, Nick?
Black Widow.
Everything.
Just put it out. Put it out right
just
now.
Put it
okay.
Out.
Okay. You know? Gotcha.
Also, maybe close the park down so all the five of us can just go in and just party. Who wants to do drugs with the frogs in the Toad's Wild Ride?
I don't know.
Oh my god, man! You have such weird priorities. And joining us for what I think is the first time on this show, not including the Kinda Honey's MCU in review that you guys did. Joey Noel.
Hello.
This is a very, very exciting time because Joey Noel has never seen Mulan until this here Mulan in review. Oh. So I'm extremely excited to have her for this one. This is in review.
She's a Mulan.
Wait, hold on. You can't just... Wait, what?
Newbie?
Let's just move past.
That was really bad, Nick. Wow. That was really, really bad.
No, it's fine. Nick, you're trying your hardest.
Joey,
it's okay.
Joey, do you want to justify? Because you know the audience is going to be annoying. You know the way our
Why didn't Joey watch Mulan before? Right?
Are you kidding me? Mac and cheese, Andy. Why? How did you never do it? How did you never
watch
Mulan?
Wait, no, don't normalize.
You have good reasoning.
No, those
are
not equal.
You have good reasoning. Just like I have good reasoning.
Those are not equal.
I think we have different reasoning. Mostly I don't like people telling me what to do. And everyone was like, you should like Mulan. You're Asian. And Mulan is Asian. And I was like, fuck you guys. I hate you. I'm never watching this.
Yeah. There you go.
And here we are now. Here we are. Now I told you. And you're like, fine, I guess. but this is in review. We are doing Mulan in review the next, I guess just Tuesday today. Next week, it will be Friday. The plan there is it won't be live on Twitch because we're going to be watching it during the day. It'll just go up on youtube.com/kindoffunny when we're done recording it, hopefully around the afternoon times, Pacific time, which means for Miyazaki in review this Friday, we're doing Spirited Away, and then we're doing the next Miyazaki movie, which I think is Howl's Moving Castle, next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So it's a little flipperoo. But then after that, Batman in review, baby, coming to you on Tuesday.
You need to stop.
Nailed it.
You need to stop and respect Batman. I'm vengeance. I am the knight. I'm Batman.
Why did you have to say it that way? Like, it just didn't
that's
sound
how
like
he says
Batman
in the trailer. He's like, who are you? Vengeance. I'd be like this.
Okay, but that's different sounding. You said yeah. earlier.
You said it more like,
weird.
I'm vengeance.
Yeah, you said it like you're kind of like, hey.
Like he was a Costco employee. Like
I forgot.
I'm vengeance. This
a fun piece of trivia that I forgot to mention on our world famous reacts is that I think that was supposed to be Michael Keaton's original line in an 89 Batman, but he said I'm Batman instead, and they were like, that's pretty cool.
I'm Batman.
Isn't that in there? But isn't that just like the classic Batman line where it's I'm vengeance, I am
the night.
I don't know if it's classic or not. I just remember reading a piece of trivia saying like when he grabs the guy, he's like, who are you? You're supposed to say I'm vengeance, but he's like, I'm Batman. It's
and also
like,
it could have just sold. Been trivia that Nick made up. Like, we don't know.
No, I'm usually pretty good about remembering the trivia, Andy, but it might not be for the correct movie. That might actually be for trivia that I was reading for That's My Boy, which is a movie I watched 2 nights ago with Adam Sandler and Andy.
You've seen it before, though.
I've never seen it before.
Really?
And I laugh my fuck. I've seen Grandma's Boy. That's what you're thinking.
No,
about.
No, it's not. That's what I'm my boy. About. We love Grandma's Boy. Grandma's Boy
That's
is a good
boy
movie.
Is hilarious, no. And I highly recommend everyone watch it. I know you tuned in here for this nice wholesome Disney movie, but That's My Boy is the
guys.
Winner.
Welcome.
I don't like,
you.
I don't like the tone that you. He Take said that serious. With. Just so you know, nice wholesome movie.
Jesus Christ. Whatever. Let's just get to it, guys. Today we're talking about Mulan, released June 19th, 1998. It's based on the Chinese legend of Hua Mulan and was Disney's 36th animated feature and the 9th animated film produced and released during Disney's Renaissance. Directed by Barry Cook and Tony Bancroft, two people who, this was their directorial debut, at least of a feature length. They did a couple little short things here and there, but they were previously animators or effects animators on a ton of classic stuff. Nick, specifically, I wanted to bring this up for you, that Barry Cook was the effects animator on Captain EO.
Oh, sick. So, that's rad.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
For those that don't know, what is Captain EO, Nick?
Captain EO was a Michael Jackson movie that was a 3D movie that you could only see, if I'm not mistaken, in Disneyland back in the day. And you'd go there, and I don't think it was very long, Tim. I think it was only like 10, 15 minutes. I think I want to say directed by
George Lucas.
Was it Lucas? I was going to say Landis, but Landis did the John Landis did the Thriller video, so maybe it wasn't Captain EO. Anyway, it was awesome. It was like super futuristic. Michael
Francis
Jackson.
Ford Coppola.
Well, yeah. That's who it was. I was
George
say it was
Lucas was the executive producer on it.
And it was amazing. The storyline, obviously, is Michael Jackson is a space captain, and he crashes on this planet with an evil queen, and then he dances her back to reality, and she becomes a beautiful princess. And then the ending is like, I'm gonna tonight. And then there's a wolf, and the wolf becomes Michael Jackson at the end. And
Kevin,
it is a fucking slap.
I just sent assets a picture that I would really like you to bring up. It's the
he
poster.
He looks at the camera.
Just like that one guy, Andy, the time we were watching John Wick.
Remember that guy?
Anyone know that reference?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I
it's do. The...
It was the hobo who said
that. Oh, the homeless man.
But just look at this poster, Kev. Can you zoom in? Would that be possible?
Of course.
Dude, Captain EO was the shit. Tim, did you ever see Captain EO?
Oh, yeah. They brought him back when he died.
It's one of those things, Kevin. Yeah.
It's unfortunate. Business. Anyways, I just wanted to bring attention.
Yeah, it's not going to beat me, guys.
To the little red homie on his shoulder, it seems.
Oh, the little like flying Furby guy. Oh,
yeah, he was cute.
Kevin, you know how to fix this scaling style?
No. How do you change it?
It's super fucking easy, and I was so mad I never learned about it. We'll talk about it after the show, Kevin.
Just tell me. Fantastic.
Right now, look how annoying this is.
I know. It's annoying. Andy,
we're talking
that.
About.
Well, there's
move
the red
on.
Furby.
A budget. All right. Of $90 million, a box office of $304.3 million, a runtime of 1 hour, 17 minutes. In terms of awards, it earned a Golden Globe and Academy Award nomination, won several Annie Awards, including Best Animated Feature. It also won the award for being Nick's favorite Disney movie of all time, where he
it
never
is.
Has gotten the song incorrect.
I am going to slap this whole episode for you right now, Tim, because the music in this... Ooh,
oh, yeah.
So memorable.
Oh, yeah.
Are you being an asshole? I can't tell if
he's
being an asshole.
I just
you're so wrong.
Listen.
How are you?
Mulan is just not, in my opinion, a top tier Disney animated
movie.
You are
an idiot.
I watched it again. I gave it a fair shake. this movie does. It's fine. It's this. That's the best you're gonna get out of crazy.
Fine.
You're this movie. Crazy. This movie. God. It further cemented the idea in my head that Mulan is a top tier movie with one of the best soundtracks and some of the most memorable songs and hooks. The songwriting's phenomenal. Do you not get chills during? And I'll make them out of you. And like the fuck, it's all built. Dude, so, it's so good, dude.
Two key changes. It has two key changes.
That's great. We got to that song. I was like,
he doesn't
cool.
mean it.
Randy Newman crushed the song. The rest of the songs I literally have never heard before in my life.
You're insane.
Literally. Reflection. Never heard of before.
Like, the song that made Christina Aguilera's career.
Yeah, you're crazy. You're crazy.
Don't
the,
know.
The thing about this is I haven't seen this movie. Like in 2 decades, probably. Like, no joke, I was probably 10 years old the last time I watched this movie, and I still remembered all of the fucking hooks. Like, this song, this movie's a banger, dude.
It must just be generational, honestly, because this movie just seems like it was a little bit past my time when I could really enjoy Disney films. Because I think of movies that are like Disney films that really stick out that have hooks that just are in my brain, and it's, you know, Little Mermaid. Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, those movies, that's more my generation. But I swear to God, I mean, and again, maybe it's just because I vibe with those. They're more nostalgic for me when I was a kid. I remember those songs, but I cannot past like Mulan, and I can't remember when Hunchback happened. I just kind of fell out with Disney.
Well, Hunchback movies, and they just that movie's terrible.
Well, I'm sure there's someone out there who's like, Kevin's crazy.
No, there isn't. Notice nobody.
Nick, do you care about Hercules?
I Joey, have been outspoken of how much I hate Hercules.
Oh, God. Joey, do you not remember how much shit he's talked about Hercules? Offending both of us at the same time on screencast multiple times.
Hercules is the poor man's Emperor's New Groove. I'm just putting it out there.
Oh, my God.
What?
Hercules is the poor man's Emperor's New Groove. If you want to watch a better version of that, Emperor's New Groove is the one.
I hate it.
Buddy from Seinfeld in
it. Wait, hold on. Hold up. I'll be honest with you. I thought Nick said Emperor's New Groove also sucks.
No.
Emperor's New Groove way better than Hercules.
No, it's not even close this week.
We're going to crash it tomorrow.
Oh, my God. It's based in Peru, and they didn't get me to, like, be the number one.
Me and Andy Rule.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. This movie was short, so I like that.
I hate you. Yeah, I hate you. You suck.
You know what? I'm back to hating Nick. He sucks.
So this was the last Disney animated feature film to contain the musical elements after a decade's worth of Disney animated musicals, with the exception being Rescuers Down Under in 1990, which was after Little Mermaid, but before Beauty and the Beast. And that didn't have any music in it at all.
I don't think I ever saw that. Oh, maybe I did see it then. Okay.
I don't remember Rescuers. Off with the Eagle in Australia.
I think I know the poster, but I did, because it didn't have music in it, I probably just saw it and was like, this is missing half the heart of a Disney movie. I'm gonna move on. But then I always confuse that with Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers. So
they're confusable.
That's an easy mistake to make.
Which then of course leads me to Gummy Bears, and then we're just somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then we're to Darkwing Duck. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
What the hell's Gummy Bears?
The paths in Nick's brain are just fascinating.
First off, Kevin, you should absolutely look up Gummy Bears. Just look it
up.
The
theme song for Gummy Bears is dope.
It's great.
It is. Huh. It is. Just like the music in Princess and the Frog, which was the return to the musical things, but that was many, many, many years later. But this was the final musical one, because after this was Tarzan. But if you notice, Joey, specifically, they don't sing in Tarzan. They just have a dope-ass fucking...
Tarzan all the way through.
Oh, man. Joe Collins.
But the weird thing is, but I've just never seen them all.
I saw that shit in theaters, and it was transformative. I'll tell you what.
What was the Phil Collins song?
The surfing part? Did that get you, Andy?
You'll Be in My Heart.
All of it.
Oh,
You'll be in my heart. Great. I don't want to get DMCA'd here, sorry.
That's okay.
Don't worry. We're far away from that.
Too accurate.
And then a fun little fact for you here. Tia Carrera was the first choice to voice Mulan, but she couldn't do it. Then Helen Hunt was considered, and she was like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
She's like, smart. No.
Smart.
That's a good call.
Who's the main voice?
It is Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Which is
cool.
Who I think is on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's been in a bunch of stuff.
She was in The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She was my one complaint with her is that a lot of times she sounds too adult.
Well, check this out. So Leah Salonga is the, I'm sorry if I just butchered that, but she's the voice of the singing Mulan. She's also the voice of Jasmine's singing voice in Aladdin. And she was also the voice of the mother in Totoro. Look at this.
It all connects. That's fun. Wow.
But she originally auditioned to just be the voice for both singing and speaking, but she didn't have a deep enough voice. She couldn't go low enough to sound like a guy. So that's why I went with Ming-Na Wen, with it, her sounding a bit more adult with it.
Did she ever sound like a guy, though? Like, I don't think she always sounded like, you know,
I've
like
met
a little,
guys, I've met
like,
guys with higher, high pitched voices. I think,
yeah, but I mean, fine, it reminded me of like a little kid pretending to be an adult voice, where it's like, I don't know if anyone would believe that, though,
especially in the situation she was in.
Well, it's also, unbelievable that the Huns attacked all of China with only 100 soldiers? That's pretty unbelievable,
Nicholas, I can't take anything you say from now on. Just so you know, this is not going to work.
I wasn't really talking only about the voice. I guess I just meant more of in the acting and in the line delivery. It just seemed like Mulan was like a 30-year-old with her. She had all her shit together, and she may have had all her shit together, but she just sounded like she came across like a lot more adult like.
I think that to me that was maybe unintentional, because she's supposed to be a little bit more ahead of the curve than everyone else. She's supposed to sort of have that perspective of like, whatever I'm doing right now is not what I want to be doing, and I see myself as being more than this. And so her character is always, to me, the most like mature person in the entire movie, because she's the one that kind of gets the progress that needs to be made. And then at the end, I think it's interesting, because I think one of the reasons why this movie didn't vibe with me the first time is because her character arc is not necessarily the most important in the whole movie. Everyone else's reaction to her is what's important in the whole movie. And that's, to me, is a little bit, and it's not bad or good, it's just different than what I'm normally used to for specifically a Disney film. Like, she does have an arc, and she does grow from being like, I think I have to fit into this role. But there's never a point where she doesn't want to do something different than what her family wants her to do. So at the end of it, she just kind of gets validated instead of having actual character growth. Where the growth comes in is really everyone else's reaction to her, including the emperor and her father and like her mother and the grandmother. They all want to put her in this box, but from the get-go, she's like, I don't want to be in that box. And that's why I think that's probably why this is a little less fun for me to watch, is because she just kind of starts a character that's 98% sure she doesn't want to do what they want her to do, and then at the end she's 100% sure.
But I think it's a little different than what you're saying, where I don't think that she knows from the beginning that she's better than it. I think she just doesn't feel like she has any place at all, and then she finds her place like doing something and bringing honor to the family when she feels like she can't at all like do that, you know. I think that a lot of it does come in like the lines of the songs and stuff. There was I didn't write it down here, but one of the lines in the songs is talking about in the early songs where they're like dolling her up and shit. And it's talking about the only way to bring honor to the family is for her to find the perfect match or whatever. Yeah, it's like using a lot of match wordplay. And it's like that she uses the matches and shit. Like she uses the fire every time she does a big militaristic victory in the movie. Really, and like that's the thing that brings the honor or whatever. But anyways,
I guess I was looking more for a more whimsical sort of Belle-like nature, where she's still just a kid, but
I'm just a kid.
but I guess like even at times where I felt like it should have been more, you know, not childlike, but, you know, a young teen kind of figuring out who they are. It still felt like this is a 35-year-old woman who's been divorced already and is like, fuck men. You know, I don't need them.
Damn,
you know?
Bro. Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know about that, man.
From she, real life or what's up?
She wasn't about, I don't need no man. She was.
In terms of how she came across, in terms of her mannerisms and everything. I don't know. I guess I wanted more like a kid, you know, vibe.
Sure. You wanted more like Ariel from.
I think she's way closer to like Pocahontas than she is to like Beauty and the Beast.
Belle,
those characters, but
definitely
still a good movie though. Fuck, good ass movie.
Great,
Joey.
Movie.
This being your first time, what are your thoughts?
I like kind of fucked up by not watching this earlier. It's really good. The weird thing is, like, even though I hadn't seen the movie, like, I still knew all the music just because it's so pervasive in at least like my crew of people, and like even going to Disneyland and stuff all the time. Like all of those interludes and all of those songs are just so iconic. Like, of course I know all the words to I'll Make a Man Out of You because it's so good. And then to see it like in context made it really fun.
Especially the way it builds into it. With the way it builds into it, I think was just so masterfully done, where the music is sort of starting in the background and
the drums or whatever.
And handsome homeboy's looking around just being like, we're fucked. There's no way.
Who's modeled after Jackie Chan.
Oh, I love really? It. I love yeah. it.
He also is the voice of him in the Chinese versions and sings I'll Make a Man Out of You. And there's a whole music video of Jackie Chan singing.
Hell yes.
Go search that on YouTube heck? For a good time.
Yeah, that I think just the whole lead up into that song is just like goosebumps central. Like I'm just getting chills nonstop, and it's so motivational. It's so damn good. And of course, all the animation throughout it. I'm thinking of what's the song where?
Oh shit, BD Wong did his voice. That's awesome.
There's another song I'm thinking of where
Girl Worth Fighting For.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good like animation interstitials during that moment where, you know, all the goofy little like sidekicks are kind of like doing silly shit. It's just so like it's so Disney and it's so but good.
The end of that song where it transitions into them walking up to that village that's been just destroyed.
Starfire.
What a hard just like the tone.
I love that.
Has totally shifted. Now they're walking around. Ugh.
God, what's funny about that so much. Is this is the first time I've seen it in a very long time. And I was talking to Joey and Gia as we were watching it. And I was like, just trying to go through the songs in my head. And I'm like, I don't think there's like the rest of the movie doesn't have musical stuff. Like, that's weird. And I never really put it together. But it's like, yeah, the first bit is all of them kind of like being more whimsical Disney and stuff. Fun. But then these kids confront war. And then the rest of the movie, like they're actually facing against an army. And it's like they're not prepared for this shit at all. And then there's just no more music until there is the fun reprise of them, you know, dressing as women, which is just like
how perfect much of them little are kids?
Symmetry to this. I mean, I don't know if they're like kids, but like,
yeah,
I like, get the vibe that they're supposed to be around like 16.
But the short dude with the crazy beard got that crazy voice.
I mean, he's older.
Voiced by who? Because we've heard that voice a million
times. Harvey Firestein.
Mm hmm.
Yao, you're talking about the Yao character who she first gets into. Yeah, it's Harvey Firestein.
Yao from Mrs. Doubtfire, right?
Yes, he's from Mrs. Doubtfire. He was also, I think, in The Birdcage at one point. He's a great actor. He's got that great, I've been smoking cigarettes since I was like 10.
It
voice.
Sounds painful.
It sounds like he's painful talking because through glass and gravel.
In the few musical bits where Yao has to, you know, sing a few lines, it's like, and you know, they do a very good sort of sing-songy, I'm also talking kind of vibe or whatever. But whenever Yao sings, it sounds like it hurts. It doesn't sound healthy at all.
They're like, are you sure you want another take? Yes.
Yeah, the one part of this movie, and this might be contentious, guys. I'm sorry. I'm about to say some shit that didn't vibe with me.
Tim, you're entering like into the danger zone right
now.
Hey,
Nick, I'm going into the Nick zone right now. Going into the Nick zone.
Come over to the dark side, buddy.
I did not love Eddie Murphy's performance as Mushu. What? And I think that a lot of it had to do with having watched Aladdin so recently in review, and like just Robin Williams and Genie is so good. It was clear they were trying to just capture that magic again. And like, it just didn't feel right to me. Well, she had moments that he was fun, but I think that overall I was like, I don't know. I felt like it took away from the things that I liked more about this movie.
This guy fucking sucks, dude.
This guy sucks. Fuck him, dude.
No, it's funny. I'm sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
Oh, I said, as we were watching the movie, I was telling him and Gio, like, man, Eddie Murphy did a lot for our childhood between this and, like, Donkey Shrek. And Shrek.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. Like, when you watch Mushu, it really just is a primer for his performance as Donkey in Shrek, which I think he nails way more in Shrek than he does in this movie. And that's just simply because I feel like he had a better dynamic with the comedic voice that was Mike Myers in as Shrek versus Donkey. And I think obviously like the Mulan character is just so much of a straight line character that he has to come in and bring like pretty much the comic relief for the entire movie is kind of on his shoulders, with the exception of some of the guys, like some of the shenanigans they get into when they're in the training montage and stuff like that. So I don't think it's necessarily his fault. I think his performance is good. I just think it doesn't necessarily hit all the time it just doesn't hit. Like, some of the jokes just don't hit, and it just feels a little extra. It feels like someone's really trying to make the movie funny And they were like, well, this is not funny. How do we do it? Eddie, just record a bunch more lines. And he's like, all right, yeah, I got this. And he says a bunch more stuff. But I just, you know, I never ended up caring about Mushu's character. I just don't care. I don't really care if he gets back into the thing or not. It doesn't. Yeah, I don't know.
What hits 1,000% for me is Cricket. That little motherfucker, everything he did, I'm like, I'm here for it. And if Mushu had to be the voice that led him, I'm down for it. I'm totally cool. And me and Joey were talking about this. We want to bring back the two side characters in Disney movies. It is, there's a fun dynamic when we get the two side. Stuff. The Timon, well,
this
and
one has
Pumbaa,
three.
You know?
This one has three. This has the horse also. And the horse
horse. Oh, but the horse is silent though, you know?
Yeah, but the horse warns them that things are coming. The horse is like, I'm going to keep you warm. The horse is like, you can ride me and we'll fantasize together.
See you too far.
About the future, about where we're going when we get a house.
I will nominate right now while we're at it, MVP horse.
Wow.
The horse.
I'll say it too. I agree.
More than the cricket? I think
the cricket doesn't do anything the whole time. Not only that, but he's a liar.
The reveal of the cricket being not lucky was so good.
That was great. That was really fucking good. I'm going to say MVP is Donny Osmond, man. Are you kidding me?
Oh, wow. For his vocal stylings?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
We are the strength of the falling river.
When the beat drops out? Dude. What?
And two key changes? He didn't have to go that hard for us, but he
did. They did.
He did, Joe. He did.
I'll throw this out there as a runner-up, Randy Newman. His arrangements, so good in this film.
God damn it. God damn it. And on that note, Nick.
Man out of me.
Let's get to the plot.
Ladies and gentlemen, 1998. I'm graduating from high school and I decided to go see this movie for God knows what. Probably should have chosen anything else to do, and that has shaped my reality ever since.
For sure is it.
Like, Mulan. We
like,
open
I'm
on
an
the
adult. This movie's stupid now. I don't even like these songs.
I was more into I was like, I'm just gonna wear trench coats and be into Kevin Smith and smoke cigarettes and talk about the space. We open.
Nah, leave me alone, I'm kinking.
Of China. A sprawling marvel of human engineering that extends as far as the eye can see. I hope to see this marvel one day myself when the living nightmare of COVID-19 is over. An eagle takes a dude's helmet off, or maybe it's a falcon. Is it a falcon or an eagle? What is Shane use,
you know,
the bird there? I assume it's a falcon.
But they had like Mongolians, the Huns, they had eagles. They have like a eagle, golden then. Eagle or something. I'm pretty sure it might be an eagle. That's a great point because it. I mean, the coloring, it's interesting. I'm looking into it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, look into it. The eagle. An eagle takes a dude's helmet off, and before you know it, the wall is attacked by grappling hooks as far as the eye can see. The guard lights the fire to warn the world that Shen Yu has penetrated the wall. Later, we cut over to the emperor is being warned of the impending Hun army, and he orders his generals to call up reserves and as many new recruits as possible. And the general's like, dude, I got this. And the emperor, played by?
Oh, yeah.
Pat Morita.
Oh,
is,
yeah. Motherfuckers.
Says,
let's
and
go.
I quote, a single grain of rice can tip the scale. One man can be the difference between victory and defeat. And then who do we cut back over to, ladies and gentlemen? That's right. In a great feat of editing, we see the next character, our titular character, Mulan, who is going through her cheat sheet of attributes for what an ideal woman is supposed to be that she's written in Greece on her wrist. But at least let me finish the sentence, Kevin. At least let me finish the sentence, and now you can say it. Go ahead.
It's a falcon.
Great. She tricks. Let's see. She tricks her little dog into feeding chickens. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We have ourselves a story. Mulan's father prays at his ancestor's shrine to help Mulan with the matchmaker that's coming up. He's counting on her to uphold the family honor. Tim, how do women in this family uphold the family honor?
Marrying a man.
By getting men. That's right. Which Mulan, we're getting the feeling here, does not like at all. And Mulan's father down in the town, Mulan's granny.
It's not that she doesn't like it. She just doesn't feel like she can. She wants it pretty badly.
Really? That's the thing is, I don't get that out of this. I feel like she's
trying her hardest to study and pass the test to get matchmaked.
I never got that on this when I watched this. I get that she's just like, I don't, this is not
she
something
she cheated,
I
bro.
Like.
She had fucking notes on her.
But I think
cheating.
That's more out of her not wanting to disappoint her family than her actually like caring about.
Yeah, that's what I always sort of got. Like I always sort of felt the vibe that she always like felt like she had to do this, but I never got from the performance that she wanted to do it. Like it never, and I guess that's kind of where I go with the character. I would have liked to have seen her be like super disappointed by this, but I guess that doesn't really have parallel between her doing that and then her immediately wanting, because she wants to go to war. She wants to go do those things. She wants to do something else that gets her away from
this. That's where we disagree. I don't think she does. And I think that, like, both of what you and Joey are saying, like, can be true, where it's like, I don't think that she necessarily wants a man, but she definitely doesn't not want a man. And I don't think she wants to go to war. I think she doesn't know. And I think that's what her growth in this is she, her trying to figure that out.
I don't think she wants to go to war either.
I didn't think she wanted to go to war. I think she more like felt the urgency that she needed to go in the place of her father.
Yeah.
Because her father just kept falling.
Right? Old, like, bitch, he just
stumbles.
He tripped so many fucking times where it's like, okay, we get it, guys.
Yeah.
He's old. Stop making him trip. This shit's sad. He's going to break a bone. And then he wouldn't have to go to war. So maybe trip harder, you know?
Yeah, exactly, Kevin. Yeah.
I think they still would have sent his ass. So, like, no excuses. Cut your leg off and come.
I don't care that you're a war legend.
Yeah, that's the thing. He was a war legend. So it's interesting that, like, they didn't, like, still request for him to come for, like, counsel and shit, right? Because when they
well, you would,
like,
think that,
kid.
Yeah, you would think that if you had someone who was that esteemed, who had that much strategic value, that you wouldn't put them on the front lines. You would have them with the, I mean, he would have been a general, and he would have been ordering troops around from the camp, in which case it would have been totally fine. Plush, you're thinking maybe AC in this tent, Andy. Maybe they've got, like, a foot massage person that comes and just, like, Andy, let me have you relax.
They definitely have a foot massage.
You got a lot of tension in his left foot.
They got a foot massage dude for sure.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
In fact, that's why he was probably pissed.
Instead of that Shifu fucker. Fuck that guy.
Oh, yeah. That dude's an idiot. Although, to be fair, played by James Hong, who is amazing.
A lot of the cast in this, badass.
Yeah, I want to make sure I got his
name
right.
He's so good, but that character sucks so much, where it's like, shut up. And when they all make fun of him, they're like, the only a man a mother would love or something like that line. It's just like, oh, it gets
me. Well, he's just totally that character that's like the try-hard character that secretly wants to be emperor, and everyone's like, you ain't shit, bro. We're going to fuck with you, and we're going to throw your shoes into the
you
water.
You Starscream-ass motherfucker.
Motherfucker. Down in the town, Mulan's granny causes a 10-cart pileup to provoke... to prove that her cricket is lucky, and Mulan rolls in bareback with her hair disheveled, and everyone's like, oh, Mulan, you've got hay in your hair. And she's like, I'm a loser. And then she says, and then we get our first song, guys. We'll make a woman out of you, I think is the title of this one. Right?
That was the alternate. That was in the parentheses. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll make a woman out of you, and then you'll bring us all honor, or you'll bring honor to us all, I think is the name of the song or something like that. Who knows? Because it's not very catchy. Anyway, when you're all done prettying
from catchy. Peter Pan,
sing me the hook of this song, Joey.
He'll bring, or she'll bring honor to us all, or something. I don't know. I don't know the words.
Joey, you nailed it. That was it. You nailed it.
Sing me the hook to Under the Sea.
Why? Just
cause. Exactly. Because it comes right into your head, and you go, let's just, this is a singable song. Just
but
saying.
That's not fair. I've seen Little Mermaid a million times.
You're just proving my point more. You're just proving my point more, Joey. How many times?
No, you know her story.
Against me.
You know Joey's backstory with this movie, Nick.
I literally just said it.
I know all your backstories. I know all your backstories.
Oh no!
Go ahead, and throw another bear back in there.
I know why the fuck you did that.
Yeah, I wanted to comment, but I stopped myself. But it was just one of those. Also, like, I'm pretty sure the horse had a saddle, right?
I know she rode in bareback. She rides bareback the whole time.
Does she?
I could be wrong.
No, I think it's
the saddle. I didn't write that in there as a joke. I wrote that
it's
in
like
there.
It's like a blanket. No, you definitely wrote that as a joke.
Well, okay.
As a dirty, dirty joke.
We'll go half and half. Anyway, they make her, they pretty her up, and then Granny stuffs an apple in her mouth, and then shoves a lucky cricket where the sun don't shine, and then off she goes into the market to get herself a man and bring honor to us all, but mostly her father, who's apparently just wants to get her out of the house. They make Mulan into a perfect porcelain doll, and it's super creepy, and then the matchmaker comes, and she calls out for Mulan, and Mulan's like, here, which she just immediately fails the test. She's like, wow, you're starting off 10 paces behind here, Mulan. And she's like,
she doesn't fail the test. She, like, lights the lady on fire and, like, has her paint her face by accident.
I love the cut to the old lady and her old lady being like, it sounds like it's going good. It's just
Granny's
so
Granny's
chaotic
comic
there.
Relief in here. Let's see. Kevin's right. She lights everything on fire. The cricket jumps into the tea. She gets the smudge all over her face. This just could not go more wrong. So Mulan returns home defeated and sings a song to herself. They'll never Make a Woman Out of Me, I think is what the name of this song is called, Tim.
It's called Reflection, Nick, by Christina Aguilera, and it is the thing that like propelled her to superstardom, which gave her the opportunity to make Genie in the Bottle and create her first album.
I don't know. I can't verify if any of that's correct, but it sounds completely wrong. Let's see. I'm going to be, I put here, if I'm going to be truly, this is what the song says. If I'm going to truly be myself, it'll break my family's heart. But maybe I want to be a plumber like Andy, only instead of killing all those ants and torturing insects, I'll actually use my hydrochloric acid to help people, just like Joker did in the number one Batman movie of all time in our future in review series, the 1989 Batman.
Such a weird backstory. Weird
joke.
I know all your backstories. I know all your backstories.
Like it wasn't funny last week or the week before that, but you're committed to it.
Yeah, but
Kevin,
see, now
it's so puzzling.
You know? Now Nick's added the fact that he knows all of our backstories, which now it's like,
we're all gonna get backstories
at some point. Yeah.
You are now running that down on the nets.
But he's not. He's gonna forget, and maybe we'll hear about ants again.
Totally. Mulan's father sits beside her to comfort his daughter. He calls her. He calls her attention to a late blossom, but he says, "But when it blooms, it'll be the most beautiful of them all." And you're just like, "Okay, but you still want me to get married, right, Dad?" Because you're kind of telling me that maybe I'm gonna find my way later. But like, is that way still marrying a dude? Is that it? I don't know. I'm a little confused by the father's message here. Because he seems super cool when she comes back from war and not pissed at her at all. So maybe he just learned a lesson. I don't know. War drums beat outside as the Emperor's emissary.
Don't try to make this movie bad.
Andy, I don't have to try and make this movie bad. The directors and the writers and the people who wrote the music did that for me. Drums beat outside.
Go alone in this.
As the Emperor's messenger, Chifu, announces to the town that one representative from each family is being called as a reserve soldier to fight for the Emperor against the Huns. And Mulan's dad is numero uno with a bullet. Of course, despite needing to walk with a cane, he goes anyway to honor his family. Mulan pleads them to stop, but Chifu gives her a tongue lashing for speaking out in a man's presence. And this guy is just like really all about the old school rules here. That night, her father takes out his dope ass armor and sword and does a sick kata, but his body gives out on him. Later at dinner, Mulan argues with her father not to go. He'll die for no reason. No, he says, I'll die for honor. He knows his place. If it's it is time for her to know hers. And she's like, I don't know my place. And I clearly can't get a dude. So what am I supposed to do next? And he's like, how about plumbing? You can talk to my friend Andy. He's got a vat of hydrochloric acid. We don't know what he does with it, but we think he's just torturing ants.
A vat.
I like to think there's a vat right off camera. Like right off camera, it's just an Acme.
Just a big,
like,
yeah.
Just a big vat, like comic size.
Like the Tuna Racing Roger Rabbit. Thing, right?
Yes,
I'm glad
yeah.
you like exactly. to think kind that. Of. I'm glad you like to think that.
turn the camera right now, coward. Turn the camera and show us, you coward. Show us the rest of your room.
Guys, I'm just saying, if you plan this out next time where he has a vat and he's like, all right, I'll turn it, that would be real funny. That would be real
where
funny.
Where did this storyline come from?
Andy had
bought
a clonk,
hydrochloric acid one time, yeah.
And he had to,
Joey,
like,
I bought a bottle of hydrochloric acid that was because Drano didn't work on my bathroom.
It wasn't enough.
Yeah.
So
it was a bottle. It was a
and
bottle
where did
about
the
that
ants
big.
Land?
I have no idea. Okay. Like no clue
just
at
trying
all.
Trying to figure out where the line between reality is.
Because Joey,
if
me,
there's a line between reality and fantasy, just put yourself firmly on the fantasy side when it comes to anything I say. Okay?
Yeah, when Nick brought up the ants, I thought to myself, did I miss a thread somewhere? Like, was
I guarantee you, while he was saying it, he saw an ant, and that's where it came from.
No, I just here's where it came from. I'm like, what did Andy do with the rest of that hydrochloric acid? Clearly, he's torturing ants. We'll move on.
I think it came from because Barrett had ants. Barrett was talking about ants at some point. I think that Nick, in his infinite wisdom, was like, Andy lives with Barrett. Andy had some hydrochloric acid.
You would think that, Tim, but instead, it comes from here's where it really came from. Hydrochloric acid burns things. Sick
what
little kid
like
burn ants with magnifying glasses. Andy burns ants with hydrochloric acid. My brain works.
I think
the
at
fact
one
that
point
Barrett's now in on this slaughter and this serial killing of ants is just a whole other threat that we're not going to pull.
Oh, great!
But maybe that'll come by later. Yeah, exactly. Mulan watches as her father goes to sleep, and then the dopest 80s rock song of all time starts. And I really, at this point, I half expected the lead singer from Journey just to come in and be like, don't stop believing. You'll find your reason for living. Tim's gonna torture some ants.
All of us, holy shit.
Yeah, you're all fucking psychopaths.
Hey, Nick, real talk, though. This moment had to have at least got your blood pumping a little bit.
This song, this moment was great. The song was fucking awesome. I don't know why they didn't use the style more in the rest of it. Because I love how I love this part. It's great. Yeah, there are great parts of this movie. I just let me be clear for all the detractors out there who are like, Nick fucking hates everything. He is stupid. This movie's good. It's just not one of my top tier Disney movies. Unlike Hercules, which we can get into later, but I just can't get past the first 5 minutes of
it. But before we do that, Nick, I do want to bring up the Cambo 6 in the chat says, we need Kind of Funny to mercilessly review the plot of Vietnam Karate Soldier 7 or whatever Nick's favorite 35-year-old movie is so he can feel this pain. Vietnam Karate Soldier 7 is the perfect.
Tell you what, man, watch KFAF tomorrow. You're going to hear me talking about every one of my favorite 80s films with James Willems. And Andy and Elise are lost. They're like, what? This is not real. So at one point, James brings up, what was the Capoeira movie, Andy? Only the strong.
Only the strong.
And Andy loses his shit. He was like, you know that movie too? And I'm like, we're friends, Andy. That just proves you're closer in age to me than you are to everyone else. Okay, let's get back to it. Sorry, guys. This part's great. She saddles up, she grabs all her shit, and she just bounces. Before doing that, she cuts her hair, and she steals her father's sword as well as his armor. Once again, mounting a horse, she stuffs the cricket where the sun don't shine and rides off.
Mounting a horse.
Grandma, what else you do to a horse, Kev? What do you do to
but
horses?
It's just, like,
I mount horses.
The stuff in the yeah.
What do you do? What do you do behind that horse, Kevin? What are you doing in front or behind that horse? That's what
it's
I want. I don't know. Chat, let us know what you think Kevin's doing with the horse while I read the rest
wrestling
of this.
It. Both there the horse is. And the cricket, voiced by Frank Welker, a.k.a. Megatron.
Oh, that's
wait,
cool.
Wait, did the cricket say anything?
No, he definitely was the easiest. Kevin, it was the easiest job Frank Welker ever had. He looked at the script and it was just a blank page. He was like, I don't. Here's my money. Give me my money. We just want your name. Grandma Fa, I think is her name, wakes up in a tizzy, and she calls to the ancestors to protect Mulan. And who should answer that call? Tim, my all-time – I wish this gentleman were my uncle. I wish I could call him for help all the time because I believe the ancestors played by George Takei. And
it is. You are correct.
Hell yeah.
Why not?
And, of course, he immediately turns up and wakes up Mushu, and you're like, oh, Mushu is going to come to help. No, Mushu is not going to call to help. Mushu is the ancient China version of, like, the telecommunications person in the old 50s. Like, you know, call centers are like, hello, who can I connect you to? And they're like, connect me with the rest of the ancestors and go get me some fucking popcorn. He's like, oh, man, I hate my lot in life here. So he calls up
That was a punishment for, like, having one of the guys killed, right, by accident?
Yeah, we get to that in a couple seconds. He, of course, used to be a guardian, just like the rest of the people they're about to call, but he screwed up and got one of Mulan's ancestors beheaded. And so that was unfortunate for him, but he was like, hey, it's not going to happen again. I'm just the cook. He wakes up the rest of them, and they say, hey, sorry, Mushu, you're not going to get – you're not going to get a shot at this, but you have to go wake up the dope ass guardian who is out there, and he's a giant stone dragon statue. Let's see. Oh, I got lost here again. Sorry, guys. Oh, he wants, but he's like, but I want this job because it'll get me back in the good graces if I can once again be a guardian. They're like, nah, you suck. Before we go back to that, we cut over to Shan Yu and his dope ass falcon, and they. Let's see. They are introducing themselves to two of the emperor's guards who they've caught. He's like, I'm going to let you guys both deliver a message from the. You go over to the emperor, Andy, and you tell him that the Hun army is coming and hell's coming with them. Tombstone, 1993. Then he shoots one of the dudes in the back because it's scarier that way. Mulan, meanwhile, practices her man
that
voice. But
where he's like, how many people do you need to deliver a message? And his bro is already like, I'm sitting here with the arrow, you know? Damn.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Let me tell you this. This Hun squad, is a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. And they're about to wreck shit on at least one of the towns before the entire, what I have to imagine, 20 to 30,000 soldiers from the Chinese army, Imperial army, is just going to come fuck them up. Because there's only about 1,000 of them here. But it doesn't matter. Also, they're not on horseback, which I feel like is historically inaccurate.
The name of the falcon, Hayabusa.
That's a fucking badass.
Falcon, yeah.
Isn't that Japanese?
I don't know. That was a
car.
It's well, Hayabusa right? is a motorcycle. Well, there's a brand of motorcycles, like the fast production motorcycle.
If you Google it, it looks like they're gloves.
Like cool. Well, yeah, that is a motor brand as well. Let's see. Oh, I apologize. So at this point, Mushu has already tricked the ancestors into letting him go because he destroyed the statue that holds the spirit of the Dragon Guardian. So he is on his own. But he's like, you know what? If I can get her to win this war, I can get in the good graces of the ancestors. This is the plan we're going with. Otherwise, they're going to cut my head off and eat me. Mulan practices her man voice, but her horse laughs at her. And she says it's going to take a miracle for her to get into the army. And then did someone say miracle, ladies and gentlemen? Enter Mushu, who... so
the
far
dragon.
Is
none of the dragons.
I will disagree with him a little bit. Like the rest of the movie, sure, but I think he is still his. I like his energy. We'll just put it that way, Tim. I like Eddie Murphy's energy in this.
Look, he's fine.
And I like him because he reminds me of Randy Watson, the lead singer of Sexual Chocolate and Coming to America, also played by Eddie Murphy. And man,
Nick, that's a great pull.
One day when we do Eddie Murphy in review, I fully expect Coming to America to be at least top five.
Daddy Daycare is going to list, like, go high on that list, you know?
I had to go back and find the name of the lead singer from Sexual Chocolate, and I watched the clip where he sings, I believe the children are our future, and I fucking started. It's so funny.
It's so good.
Everyone go watch Coming to America right now. What the fuck are you doing with your lives? Anyway, he steps in and he's like, look, dude, I'm Mushu, and I'm going to help you with this, and you have to trust me. And she's like, well, I've never seen anything like this before in my life, but it checks out. Let's move forward. Mulan, let's see, goes into the camp, and she apparently insults someone, is what I wrote here. I'm moving kind of fast on this one.
Yeah, she got in a fight with someone by accident.
She and pumps then, into the line.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, that's right. And Mushu tries to teach her how to be a man because men are gross and stinky and spit a lot. That's and true. So she slaps Yao on the ass and then calls him a chicken boy or something like that. And Mushu starts a brawl, which culminates with a hilarious domino sequence. And then we cut over to General Li talking to his son, Shang. Li Shang, he tells him to get the troops in order so he can beat the Huns and climb the military ladder. Also, the general is his dad, so nepotism apparently is alive and well in the Emperor's army. Li Shang gives Mulan...
Because I feel like he did a good job with these losers, you know what I mean?
Well,
bunch of losers, they came
he was
out...
He was given the loser troop. So sort of like a Stripes, Sergeant Bilko situation here. You know, where you're like, I don't know if this guy, like maybe he had another son that was like a doctor and he was like, that's going to be my future. This kid he's not doing really well. Let's see. Li Shang, of course, gives Mulan shit for starting trouble. And she's really, really bad at being a dude. I recommend asking questions. And then when your wife starts to answer, immediately start thinking about something else. And then when she asks for a question back, take at least 2 to 3 seconds longer to answer that question. And then boom, you're a dude. Done.
You made a man out of you, Nick.
Exactly. I'll tell everyone how to be a man. Just go off. When your wife starts talking, just start thinking about cars. And then come back. And when she's gone, done.
Drive off.
Let's see. Li Shang asks her name, and the best she can come up with is Ping. And then she passes herself off as her father's son and then tries to spit. And it just kind of dangles from her lips. And it's like, man, we got a lot of work to do. Li Shang orders that.
Real quick. That little interaction that happens where it's like, oh, Ping Fa, and they're like, oh, Fa, like I didn't know he had a son. She's like, yeah, she spits, and then it like can't fall, and they're just like, oh, okay, well, yeah, we get it now.
Yeah, that's
it makes
why
me
no
laugh
one talks
so
about it.
Hard.
You're an idiot. That's a great funny moment. Of course, then the next morning, where are we? She passes. Li orders them all to pick up and. I don't know. Oh, pick up all the rice on the ground. And then everyone starts immediately hating her. The next morning, Mushu uses Jiminy Cricket as an alarm clock and stuffs Mulan full of breakfast. Shang Li gets all the troops together for their first day of training. And he immediately takes his shirt off. And I'll be honest, if I look like him, I would too. Apparently,
Hold
taking
on.
Your shirt off makes you Joey, aim better.
We need to have a little breakdown moment here. Because I think it was around here that I heard Joey audibly gasp. We know that this isn't.
Bro,
a
I was
Miyazaki
right there with
review.
You, Joey.
We know that this isn't the hot dad watch, but
no, he goes to the top of the list. You get big Kylo Ren energy with the high pants and the shirtlessness.
Yeah,
he's pretty
it's good.
He can good sing. Chest, he can shoulders. Direct this weird platoon of. Soldiers?
Yeah,
questionable soldiers.
I mean, the thing is, the thing I give him the highest praise for is that this is all just a group of losers, right? Like all of that, like clearly this is not the army that they were wanting. And he turns him into a top tier fighting squad. And I mean, shout out to him, man. He's the best, dude. He's the best.
And he does it in record time. And the way he does it, of course, is by telling them to climb a pole with gold medals from the last Olympics and get his arrow. He shoots an arrow to the top of the pole. He goes, first person to get my arrow lives. Everyone else fucking dies.
Battle Royale, 1997.
It's crazy. And then, of course, Tim, we get the Randy Newman classic. We'll make a man out of you. And it's just everything I remember it being, minus Randy Newman. Apparently, he did not do the song.
All these years later, I could have sworn it was Randy Newman.
Crazy, man. I thought it was him or Christina Aguilera, and apparently I'm wrong on both accounts.
Real talk, I love this fucking song. I know that's already clear. I know we already get it. But I love this song in context of this movie. Like, I love how quick this movie kind of the pacing's fantastic. It just keeps on going. And I think that like this part, it speeds through all the stuff that like we get it. They're going from zero to hero, Hercules reference. But I love that we get this montage and it has everything that you want. It's a catchy song. There's the build, it's hype. It ends where you're like, man, these motherfuckers have changed and I want to see what they're about to do. But also it's funny. Like there's comedic elements, and I think that it builds the characters and the relationship between Mulan and these like three side dudes. That are all colored like Power Rangers, and it's awesome. But anyway,
it's one of the
top tier fucking songs.
It's one of the best montages ever, Tim. I think the build up from showing them being losers, and then suddenly like all the arrows are hitting the apples in the tree, and it's so good. It builds so perfectly at a great pace. Like I cannot say enough about this song. I love it.
Of course, as the song climaxes, Mulan finally realizes she fails at first and then finally realizes that she can use the weights to like latch onto each other and then climb the pole like I imagine telephone pole climbers, like people from the telephone company do. You know, they do the thing and then they kind of climb up and do the thing.
I've seen people do this like in the strongman competitions where it's like 4 a.m. on ESPN3 or 2 or whatever. Like they're not showing actual shit, but seeing like people do like the sort of climbing thing. It's like, wow, that's really cool. It looks really tough.
Later that night, Shan Yu and his boys smell a child's doll and with scary accuracy figure out that the entire Imperial army is waiting for them through a nearby pass. We catch back up with Mulan, who takes a midnight skinny dip but isn't expecting the rest of her squad to join in. And man, the army just seems fun at this point. Mushu bites one of them in the ass. Mulan slips away, thankfully, but not before the other guys are like, we're going to play King of the Rock. And I'm like, Kevin would win this game. Because he swims like a dolphin. But also,
Kevin does have some big Yao energy. I will say that.
Kevin is our Yao for sure. And that makes you Ling, and I'll be Mulan. Let's see. When she gets back to camp, she overhears Li Shang getting chewed out by Chi Fu. She tries to calm when he comes out of the tent. She tries to kind of calm him down, but Mushu gets the and then he's like, "I'm not having it." And then Mushu's like, "You're into this guy, aren't you?" And she's like, "Yeah. Have you fucking seen him shirtless? Jesus Christ, guy can shoot an arrow half a mile away. He's a catch. Also, he's a general, and his dad's a general, or he's a captain, and his dad's a general. So he's made it, man. He's got an income forever." Chi Fu gets his Mushu and Cricket sneak into the tent. We get a fun. This moment actually made me laugh out loud. They sneak into Chifu's tent, and he's got a picture of him, like a painting of himself, like meeting the emperor, and he's like super stoked. I was like, okay,
great.
Fuck you, people. Mulan is a great movie. Whoever thinks Mulan's a bad movie can go fuck themselves.
It's too late.
Sure, the music's not memorable.
No,
sure, that one song is fine.
I hate you.
But this one moment is so funny. Anyway, they get the bright idea to write a letter saying that this army has to that the generals or the emperor is requesting this army join the rest of the ranks, which they slip to Chi Fu as he apparently was trying to just get in on that skinny dipping action. Tim, he was like, everyone's skinny dipping out by the pond, I'm gonna go. And everyone's like, we don't fucking like you, bro. You're the administration, man. You're the management. We don't like you at all. So they go, and then a horse tries to eat a slipper. Or no, it's not a horse. It's a panda bear. Mushu comes up on a panda, and this is another laugh out loud moment for me, Tim. I don't know if you caught this one all the 15 times you saw this, but he delivers the message via his like fake soldier. And then as Chifu's walk away, the panda bear walks up to a tree and then just immediately climbs it.
Yeah.
the body flops back.
Eddie Murphy also being like, "What? You've never seen a black and white before?" It's like so the funny. Delivery's so good of it. Yeah,
it's really, really good. Let's see. Then they march and the music here is just what it is. And then it's all fun and games until they come across the town that's been burned to the ground by Huns. I think there maybe been a song there somewhere. What do we want? A girl worth fighting for. That's the song here.
That's a good song.
Yes. And like, okay, that's cool. And then they come across, they're like, everything's great. We're going to beat this Hun army. And then they see just the utter destruction that this Hun army has caused. And they're like, we're going to fucking die. We need to turn around and dress like pandas.
Yeah. Like, well, the tone shift there was just so dramatic, but like also like what a great moment. Cause it goes from a very fun song to just like silence and like, look at the destruction. Here's the little doll. And it's like, oh no, that little girl died.
Yeah.
Well, like I was saying though, like the rest of the movie doesn't have music. Like it's such a cool, just like they had to grow up in that instant. And we see that kind of throughout the rest of it.
You're so smart.
Mulan finds the smelly doll that Shen Yu was sniffing, and then Shang Li wonders why his father wasn't there to stop the massacre, but then Shifu calls his attention to something that's over the hill, and when he gets up there, he sees that his father's army, including his father, has just been destroyed. Mulan once again tries to comfort Shang Li as he buries his father, basically, but he is resolute. He orders his men to take the pass and cut off the Huns, or the emperor is done.
There's another moment there where Shifu comes up with his... the general's helmet? Like helmet, and he's like the general, and it's just something about the line delivery always just gets me.
Mulan leaves the smelly doll by General Li's memorial, and off they go. Mushu accidentally gives away their position, and the Hun archers open fire from a nearby ledge. They manage to save the cannons and use them to blast the archers off the side of the mountain. But as the smoke clears, Shen Yu appears over the horizon with about 1 billion Huns, and they charge the remaining Imperial soldiers.
I will say this. Like, Shen Yu did such a great job of scouting out people that looked the part, right? Like, if your eyes are really, really yellow and kind of gross looking, or if your eyes are like mine and they're, and the whole eyeball is black, goopy, but the iris is just like a color yellow, you got to look evil. And also, if you want to be a horse in this army, you got to look like a mean-ass fucking horse.
You got to be a mean horse.
Like, the Shen Yu's horse is the most evil fucking being in this whole goddamn world. Like, that's the scariest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, let's see. Shang Li orders his man to aim the cannon at Shen Yu, but Mulan gets a better idea. She snatches it up and aims at a massive snow-filled overhang that brings an avalanche down on the Hun army. Everyone...
Look aside here. She does this. She blows... What? She blows up the... She blows up the thing causing an avalanche, right? Mm-hmm. For some reason, Blockbuster decided it was a good idea. Blockbuster. Not 7-Eleven. Blockbuster. Decided it was a good idea as a promotion for this movie to sell a Slurpee knockoff where the flavor was called Mulan Avalanche.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I remember that if you bought it, and I don't even remember what the flavor was, but it was like legit just like an icy. But it was all Mulan branded, and they gave you a little plush cricket. And I really wanted that plush cricket. And I got that plush cricket.
Never got it.
But like never thinking about it. That now, I'm just like, they literally like brought an icy machine into a Blockbuster. Like, that's just so fucking bizarre.
It's more upsetting to think that like they didn't use those icy machines afterwards for other.
That's upsetting, but also I feel like it's. I don't know that it's insensitive, but it feels insensitive. You know.
I mean, they're celebrating the death of evil people. Like,
so yeah,
I guess to be fair, they didn't die. Only like 99% of them died.
Yeah, I think six of them. Right?
To be fair, you got to be if Shen Yu's like, you want to join my army, you got to look evil as fuck, right? You have to have like really skin that's very unsaturated, yellow looking eyes, really really evil, and also your skin has to be made of whatever like compounds and chemicals to withstand being underneath snow for who knows how long.
Yeah
like
an hour,
and these guys are shirtless, dude, and they walk out of there like as if they just took a nap and hibernated, bro.
They're all
like,
Wim Hof. They're just doing that breathing method that allows them to be hot in the snow.
Exactly.
Let's see. Everyone gets overtaken, and Mulan and everyone goes over the cliff. Shen Yu gets covered in snow, and as Mulan goes over the cliff, she shoots an arrow with a rope up toward her homies, and they grab it and they pull her up, and she saves the day, saving Shang Li's life, and he owes her what they call a life debt. Everyone celebrates.
Wait, real quick, the arrow thing is another moment where like I love it so much because Yao shoots the arrow at them, but forgets to grab the rope, And then later he's telling the other guy about it, and it just lands in his hands and he grabs it. Some of those those little moments I fucking love.
Let's see. Her friends pull her up, and then they realize she is. Oh, and this is a pivotal moment, because as they get up there, Shang-Li tells her that he finally she has his trust. He's like, "You've earned my trust. You're the man." And then everyone celebrates until they realize Mulan is hurt and she passes out and dies. The end. The injury, of course, exposes her as a woman, and Chi Fu accuses her of high treason. Mulan pleads with Shang-Li, we just got cool, and now you're springing this on me. I don't know how to deal with this.
I know, Nick. Like, I don't know why my first thought was like a voiceover of when he walks into the tent and she's like covered up and she looks up and like, obviously, like, it's a woman's body. And like, I just picture him going, "Tits, like, no, like, how dare you?"
Like, if you've ever seen this, the incredibly seminal film, Just One of the Guys, they have exactly the same moment. In fact, I'm pretty sure that Mulan ripped this off.
Wow.
From them. You guys should all actually pause this. Go watch that. That's required reading for Mulan going forward.
Put that on the Nick list. I won't watch it.
Okay. Well, we're going to make you be on screencast from here on out.
That was rude, Andy. Mean.
It's a great segment of the show.
I don't watch KFAF, even though you guys try to make me by having me stream it.
We love it.
Sometimes I just set a timer.
We include you in it. I wouldn't know. Let's see. Of course, Mulan pleads with Shang-Li to understand. She did it for her father. Mushu did it for glory, and the cricket was just along for the ride. He's like, "I'm just a cricket." Shang-Li spares her life for paying his debt to her, and then they roll out, leaving Mulan to die in the snow. The end. Later that night, the cricket makes the world's smallest fire, and everyone licks their wounds. Mulan regrets having left home. Mushu tells her that she had the best intentions of saving her father, but maybe she didn't do it for him. Maybe she didn't do it for him, she says. Maybe she went to prove that she could do something right for once, but she was wrong. She's an utter failure. Mushu, of course, then getting the vibe, confesses that he risked his life for his own selfish reasons as well. And then the cricket tells everyone the most shocking news of all, that he's not lucky. And Mushu accuses the horse of being a sheep, and they all make up. We're all in this together. Shang-Yu wakes from
the end.
A great moment, but like it's crazy how she's like, "I'm a failure. I screwed this all up," and it's like, "No, dude, you still killed like 10,000 dudes with an avalanche." Like,
it's really smart.
Yeah, at this point, even if they kill the emperor, which would be pretty difficult, the entire Hun army is dead.
Yeah,
so
they're not gonna. Be
there's
able
no
to
real
them.
Reason to worry so much. It's like, okay, they might kill the emperor, but like at some point, the emperor's guard, who you have to imagine in numbers at least in the hundreds, if not the thousand, will
at
just come
point,
kill this
old
guy.
Age. Yeah,
and then
age.
A new. Yeah, I mean, the guy's old anyway, so a new emperor will probably be chosen, and China's
he probably
be just
has
fine.
A son that was ready to take over, right?
I imagine so, right? They usually do. If not, they just keep spreading it out there until one pops out, and they stuff a cricket up its ass, and they go, "You're going to be lucky."
I don't understand why you're fixating on the cricket going through people's butts.
Because grandma's "Put it on your ass. Put it on your ass, and if it goes up there,
on like a belt.
Yeah, but it was in a small little cage that you could not keep any cricket. The bars of that cage were too wide.
It was a
euphemism right through,
it
goes right up your happy
putting
hole.
Putting it in her butt.
Exactly. It goes right up there and makes everything smell fresh and clean, like a Glade wipe. Let's see. This is when Shen Yu wakes up from the ice like Captain America, and he wants revenge. One by one, his soldiers claw their way out of the icy grave, six in all. Mulan watches as they make their way toward the Imperial City, and then she's like, "Oh my god, they're gonna destroy everything." And then Mushu's like, "Well, there's only really six of them, so really the stakes at the end of this movie are kind of a letdown." And everyone's like, "No, this movie's great." Anyway, she mounts her horse and grabs her cricket and heads out to warn the city of the five or six Huns that are coming. Catching up with Shang-Li, she warns the captain that the Huns are coming, but he doesn't believe her because he feels betrayed by her womanhood. Shang-Li and the boys ignore her as well, so she sets out to find someone who will believe her and help her eliminate the six or seven Huns that pose a threat to the entire Imperial City of thousands and thousands of people, and I have to imagine at least hundreds of soldiers. As the Emperor honors Shang-Li on the steps of the temple, while Mulan tries to warn everyone, but no one will listen. But Shang-Li he gets presented the enemy sword, and then Shang-Yu surprises everyone. He springs a surprise attack and kidnaps the emperor. Eventually, the emperor has, we've lamented on the fact that there's no guards inside of this palace, guys. This is obviously a huge oversight from the emperor's point of view, and I'm sure he's going to fix this. But at some point, they take him into his palace, and they're like, "There's no one here.
Nick, you get to a point where it's like maybe you deserve to be replaced. Like, you know, maybe
the Emperor.
Maybe you've overstayed your welcome.
Amarita deserves to be replaced.
I'm not going to say that he deserves Shelby to be replaced. Woo's
grandpa,
but if he'll allow himself to get kidnapped off of the steps to his own house,
getting a little complacent
in his house, a little complacent.
God.
Maybe it's time for a regime change.
A fun fact here: some of the footage of the Forbidden City is recycled from the Whole New World musical number from Aladdin. They like took a lot of the original design and art. When they went to China. It's cool.
Mulan gets the bright idea. Wait,
they went to China for that?
Yeah, they went around the whole world.
They flew over everything, bro.
Really?
It's a whole new world, Kevin.
Oh, no, I thought...
they went to Italy?
I'm an idiot. No, I thought...
Don't they go to Egypt, too?
Yeah. I thought that you were saying that like the Disney people went to China to like get footage for that.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
They did.
Yeah. But no, they didn't take footage of that. They probably just got reference images and stuff like that.
Kevin, did you know that when people want to travel really, really far, like when they want to do long flights around the world, it's faster to get like shot up into the atmosphere and then come back down?
It's called space travel. You're mistaken. What you're thinking of is they go over the North Pole. The North Pole.
Higher they fly, bigger they fall. Mulan gets the bright idea.
Look, I'm like, that's not what I heard.
Andy's like, agree to disagree right now with you. He was like,
You don't want to go through this debate on interviewing Andy?
To be fair, though, they did have the Concorde, which used to fly higher than every other ship. Yes. That's why it was faster. But they were like, this is super bad for the environment and it's really expensive.
So it was expensive.
The Concorde was really cool looking, Kevin.
You know, they're making new planes that fly in a similar way to the Concorde. They don't look as cool.
But what I'm talking about, like if you're going from A to B, it takes longer to do this than it does this because of like the shape of Earth,
the rotation of the planet as well.
But all planes.
Andy, when you know when you go into a plane, you don't actually go into space, right?
Yeah, space real high.
I've seen some stuff up there.
All the big planes
are flying at 30,000 feet, Andy. So like, no matter what, they got to go. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like they're not going up, waiting till the world rotates and then come down.
It'd be cool if they did though.
Yeah,
then you can just go up there have like a fresco.
It's just gravity is so hard.
People in the comments, can you just let us know? just let us know.
Let us know. And I'll tell you what. I'll tell you who else lets people know. Mulan gets the bright idea and she lets all of her boys know it's time to dress up like women and climb each other's poles, just like we used to do back in summer camp. Shang Li apparently gets over his shit real quick now that he's a loser. So he joins in and together they all scale the palace wall.
Hold on, though. Are we just going to gloss over the fact that it's a fucking I'll make a man out of you reprise?
Yeah, it's so sick.
Let's go, man. I just find their hope coming back. Let's go, guys.
Okay. Hope was gone for 5 seconds. Now it's back.
Jesus, this fucking guy.
Mulan gets the bright. Okay, anyway, Shang Li. The squad sneaks up on Chen Yu's soldiers dressed as concubines, and everything is smooth sailing until a half-eaten apple falls out of Ling's pachuchu, and all hell breaks loose. Shang Yu grabs the emperor and runs. So Mulan and Shang Li give pursuit while they all duke it out on top of the palace. Chen Po grabs the emperor and zip lines his ass down to safety. Shang Yu gets pissed and headbutts Shang Li unconscious. Seeing no other choice, Mulan cuts the zip line, stranding herself and Shang Li within the dangerous clutches of their enemy. But they've cut off Shang Yu's only ability to get the emperor. And he is pissed. He grabs Shang Li by the neck and he says, "You took away my victory." And then Mulan says, "No, motherfucker, I did." And then he's like, "Oh, my God."
And then she holds her hair up and he's like, "Oh, shit, you're Ping." Fuck.
He's like, you're the soldier from the past. And that doesn't matter because I'm 15 times your size of both of you. I'm going to fucking murder all you guys. The only thing that can kill me is a nuclear rocket. Thankfully, as they go up.
Hey, man, shout out to these rockets being like dragon faced. Like,
yeah,
that's cool. Really cool.
Shang Yu chases up to the roof while Mushu talks to some soldiers like he's in the he convinces some soldiers he's Batman and then things start looking pretty dire for Mulan. Thankfully, Shang Yu doesn't know how to fight with a fan, but Mulan does, and she uses it to disarm him, and Mushu shoots a nuclear rocket up his fucking hoo-hole, and then he just explodes into the air as Mulan jumps to safety and the entire rooftop just explodes in fireworks. Chifu comes in hot after that. They go back down to the floor, and Chifu comes in hot and wants Mulan's head on a stick for lying to them. But Shang Li stands up for her finally And then the emperor interrupts and lists off a litany of offenses that she has done to China. And he ends with, "You have saved us all." And then they all bow to her, which prompts the entire city to follow suit. And Tim, just once in my life, I want this feeling. Maybe some at the next Hobbit RTX. Shit,
man. I love it.
Maybe at the next RTX. Exactly. When we get to go to a live show again, I want everyone to bow to me. I want Tim to start the bow. And then everyone bows.
Oh, I need to do it first.
Yeah, you start the bow. Okay. And then I want to see the full convention center just stop for a moment and bow to me.
So you want the entire convention center. So not even just at our panel of people that we might be able to convince to do this. You want to get a whole bunch of people that we can't convince to like give any of our shows a shot.
Yeah.
You want them to stand up and bow to Nick Scarpino.
I want them to do it. I want the people upstairs to do it. I want people out of eyesight to do it. And I'd like all of the help and security and all the guardians who are donating their time for free to do it as well. Is this
Nick? I love this. I love it. This is very smart. Yeah, thank you. I think we could do
Nick, do you want a bow or a full on kneel like they got?
I'd like a straight up kiss the floor, baby pose, child's pose. Maybe get a lip fungus from this.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Now what you're talking about sounds like some sort of like huddle in like safety, you know, kind of like weird, like bomb thing.
I don't need people to touch each other. I want people to duck and cover for my.
Okay, yeah. Now you're moving to bomb threat level,
right?
Where it's like they're just kind of like, you know.
I don't want people to be scared, Kevin, but I do want one or two of them to be terrified.
You want people to be afraid of how much they love you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or you are Michael Scott.
Put it a different way. I want them to be afraid not to love me. That's what I want. All right. The emperor orders Chifu to find Mulan a position in his castle. And then Chifu's like, "No, we don't have anything open." He goes, "Well, fine. She can have yours." And then she's like, "Hey, motherfuckers, does someone want to ask me what I want to do? Because I don't want this shit. I just want to go home." And the emperor's like, "Fine. But before you go, I'm going to give you some cool shit." He gives her a medal so that everyone knows that what she's done. And then she gives her, of course, it gives her the sword of her enemy as well. And it's a cool one of those like cool
wiggly ones.
Yeah, it's scary because when it's coming at you, you don't know where it's coming from.
Whoa!
It's cool. It's moving in real time. Yeah.
Exactly. Let's see. She goes home where she meets her father and everyone hugs. And then she goes.
Horny grandmother.
Yeah, her horny grandmother's there. She's like, "Just find a man." She's like, "I just won a fucking war." And she gives the trophies to her father, and her father couldn't care less. He throws him to the ground. Of course, he's just happy that his daughter's home safe and sound because he was worried about her. Important note, when she left, he would have chased after her. But if he had told the army what she was up to, they would kill her for sure. So he just sat on his ass. Tripped
like five times chasing after her.
Exactly. He was like, "I just don't have it, guys. I'm going to watch Family Feud for the next 14 hours until she comes home." Let's see. When she does return home, of course, Mushu gets his comeuppance as well. He goes in and he was like, "Hey, I did this cool thing." And the ancestors like, "You sure did." And much of their security, they reinstate his status as a guardian. As of course, Shang-Li shows up under the guise of giving Mulan her helmet back. But everyone knows what's really up to him. They're about to make the fuck out. And Granny's like, "You can stay here forever." And he's like, "You're aggressive, old woman. Maybe I'm with the wrong family member here." And then the ancestors watch as everyone's good to go. And then Mushu immediately throws a party in the temple, and the dogs and the chickens join in.
And then what happens, Nick? And then what happens?
And then there's a great song. Is it Stevie Wonder? Is this the song?
No, it is 98 degrees.
Oh, it was 98 degrees. Why did I think it was Stevie Wonder? That was weird.
It does sound like Stevie Wonder with the instruments used. That's cool. But True to Your Heart by 98 degrees.
True to your heart. It must be true to your heart. My God, dude. Nick Lachey just from Cincinnati. What do I remember about him? He went to Cincinnati University or some shit.
Is that
The Endless Dark in the chat is saying it's 98 degrees and Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, that sounds like Stevie Wonder.
Wow. I was unaware of that.
Linda Garcia, you got beat with your facts. Your facts got beat out by Endless Dark.
Haiku in review.
Seven syllables in the middle. You need five for the first and last line. If you're not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme. Haiku in review. Haiku in review.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form, just like Ignacio Rojas did. Mulan's a badass, just like her actress Ming-Na. Watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then he gives a note. No, seriously, Ming-Na Wen's is such a badass in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Kevin knows.
She is.
Do you know Kevin?
Yeah, I know for sure. She's badass.
There we go.
Tell him, Kevin.
Andrew Feisner says, "Paint flows at the start. Mulan sings just like Jasmine. Be true to your heart."
Wow, that's really wow. I like that a lot, Andrew. Yeah.
I didn't get it.
That was good. That was good. And then Andrew Feisner wrote a lot more. I'm not going to read them though. Haiku for this review.
Was that the best one?
Yeah, it was because it rhymed. One. It didn't have to rhyme, but I like it when it does. I like it when it does, even though it's not in the theme song. Let's do a little bit of. Let's see. What do we what do we want to do for Mulan?
I don't think we should do Ragabaga because it's going to be the same people.
No, I think it might be different. We don't. I mean, we know that the next one's going to be drastically different than this.
Yeah, it looked like there was a witch lady.
No music. It's very tragic.
Yeah. God. So. Sure. Let's just do MVP.
I'm gonna say MVP is the horse. I'm just throwing that out there.
The horse was really dope. I feel like he came in clutch. I understand the desire to make Cricket an MVP, but like it was funny. There was a lot of good comedy coming from him, but I just feel like the horse is the dude that gave in 110% and also had his own little attitude, you know, and I like that too.
I would say Cricket, I feel like, is kind of an easier choice. But my dark horse is...
The dark horse.
The dark horse, yeah. mainly the casting director for Shen Yu and his army. Because every actor picked for that army, it just looked... They fit the part perfectly, you know.
Yeah, it was a hard decision. I heard they held auditions for actors IRL for like months just to find them all.
Just to find the right looking people. Right? You got to look evil enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you have to have evil looking horses. Yeah.
Nick, who do you say for MVP?
I say the horse. I think the horse is great. The horse is like, I'm going to be real with you. You don't sound like a man at all. No one's going to believe this. And then that forces her to bring in the little dragon thing.
Joey?
I want the grandma to get the MVP. I like her a lot. She has some fun moments. She's real thirsty. I like that she doesn't try to hide it.
Real thirsty, yeah.
See, the only reason I would say no to the grandma is because the grandma is just trying to push her toward the traditional route. I would have liked to have seen the grandma be like, hey, you don't have to do this. You could be more than this. And that's one of the things granted, you don't need a character like that, but it would be nice for someone to be like, hey, you know this traditional route that's making you unhappy that you're terrible at because you don't want this? You don't have to do this. You could go be something other. And I feel like the granny was just like, I just
grandmother
want
Willow energy.
What's grandmother Willow? What does that mean?
Pocahontas? No.
Oh, I don't remember Pocahontas that well. I think I watched it once. It was, and I was like, tree. Mel Gibson's better in Lethal Weapon, so I watched that a bunch more times.
Oh my god!
is there a point in
you're not
point
wrong
in Pocahontas shit. where he gets a guy to talk to a potential guy that's going to be jump off a roof to just jump off the roof with him because that was a dope ass.
Yeah,
scene
yeah. There is a point like that, but it's on a boat.
Oh, cool. Well, then maybe I'll watch Pocahontas. Is there a part where he's like, where one of the his buddies like, I'm getting too old for this shit in Pocahontas?
Yeah, that was exactly the little Nico chipmunk says. Guy.
Fuck, this is great, man. This is a great movie. I should watch it.
Well, the horse gets the MVP by default with two votes. So there you go. There you go. Next week, we are going to be reviewing Mulan 2020. Very exciting stuff. The first new blockbuster movie we've gotten this year since Onward, I want to say.
Yeah.
I never saw Pretty Onward. Crazy.
Oh, you missed out. It's on Disney Plus. You watch it.
Yeah. So, until next week.
Anyone believe heart. Andy's going to check that out? No, he's not going to check it out. Yeah. Sorry, Tim. I fucked up your outro. Say it again.
I was just going to be true to your heart, you know.
Oh, good one, Andy. Original.
Is it done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.